You're listening to the newly rebranded Raising Her Game podcast.
There's no point in pumping a whole bunch of money into a great Facebook ad campaign, for instance, or Instagram ad campaign if, you know, your squeeze page isn't working, if the email automation series isn't doing what it needs to, if the tripwire isn't compelling and isn't driving people to act. There's all these stages that we need to consider. So that's something that we're going to be working through together, Mel.
You're listening to the Brave Business Podcast, brought to you by Anna Jelic and Florencia Pike, where business strategy meets mindset mastery. Get ready to step outside your comfort zone and get empowered in your life and business.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Brave Business Podcast. And I am so excited to be taking the driver's seat today, no pun intended, as we have a bit of a related business to driving in the hot seat today. But I am taking over today and I'm really pumped to deliver a marketing hot seat session with one of our own student sisters, actually, Melanie DeGioia from Fuga Veloce. How's it going, Mel?
Very well, thanks. I'm so pumped to be here.
We are so excited to have you. Now, for our listeners, you may have recently had the opportunity to plug into Anna's Mindseat Hot Seat session on one of our recent episodes, which if you haven't yet checked out, I absolutely encourage you to. Now, for those of you who are tuning in but don't know me, I am Florencia Pike. You can call me Flory, and I am an expert digital marketer, and I'm absolutely obsessed with all things consumer behavior and psychology, not to mention that I absolutely thrive on helping small business owners to expand their brand reach and growth so that they can ultimately scale. And with all of this said, I am so pumped to have you here, Mel.
Thank you.
And Fuga Veloce is a local Sydney Ferrari hire company. And yes. I'm gonna let you take over here and tell us a little bit more around what you do. I think it would be great to hear it from you, really.
Excellent. Well, it is quite simple. So Fuga Veloce, it's Italian for fast escape. And so that's what we focus on. We have a Ferrari and we rent it out to people to drive. It's a two-seater. And they can drive it anywhere they like. So in Sydney, we do have strict rules that they have to stay in New South Wales. But they can take it for an hour, 5 hours, 10, 24, 48, or a bespoke package. It's quite a rare offering to have a self-drive Ferrari package in that a lot of people do drive days or track days. This one is like, we give you the keys and you go. So it's quite unique in that respect. We have some porting things around it. Like we have some itinerary suggestions. I'm building up, locations where they can go, like, affiliate side of things, but that's still neat to see. So the idea, basically the core idea is you make a fast escape from Sydney, in a Ferrari and you just drive the roads, enjoy the roads and go somewhere beautiful and make memories.
I love it. So, and how long have you, can you tell our listeners a little bit more around how long Fuga Veloce has been around?
Certainly. We did a soft launch on the 1st of May,
okay.
Which was just, I did the basically the website was launched.
Yeah.
And I didn't do any marketing besides to friends and families and stuff. I wanted to get the processes bedded down.
Yeah.
And get my confidence up a bit. And then we launched at Ferragosta, which is a five dock Italian festival.
Okay.
And we launched officially on the 20th of August last year, 2017. And that was our official launch. And so we've been running since then, in my eyes, officially. Like I've been trying to push marketing and growing the business, things like that since 20th of August.
Okay. So almost still quite a year.
I know. I did a whole little, oh my God, 1st of May was, this is a soft launch. And and we're actually back at Ferragosta this year.
Okay.
Bigger than ever.
Yeah.
And we've got a bit better prime location and we're a bit more involved in the organization, not the organization, but we're involved in with the organizers providing things. So I'm going to celebrate our first birthday with a bit of a special day.
That's really exciting. I love it. And how, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, I think, in terms of how it's going. But before we do, I think one thing that I wanted to caveat before we start talking about your marketing specifically, because that's what we're here for today, is that, as you know, being one of our own students, Mel, you know that we are absolutely huge on getting you ladies first to really get your foundations in a rock solid place before throwing any money at your marketing. I am such a stern believer of the fact that you really need to be clear on your business foundations before thinking of even marketing your business. So just before we start talking around, you know, your marketing strategy, what you've done to date, how it's going, can you just share with me, I just want to ask you a few questions just so that I can get clear and our listeners can understand where you're at in terms of these foundations and these essentials. Okay. So in terms of your avatar, so, you know, what we also refer to as your perfect or your ideal, you know, client.
Yep.
Can you just share with us a little bit around who that person is?
Absolutely. I've been very diligent in following through the foundation steps.
That's awesome. I have seen that in the forum, which I love. Yeah. Makes my heart sore.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm up to the last one now, actually, so it's good. But yeah, from the avatar perspective, I've taken a slight, well, I'm going to say it's an easy route, but it's also a unique route. So I've completely niched down. My avatar are females, which is a bit left of field for a Ferrari company, but it's for a point. So it's females over the age of 30, because that's the age you need to be, with a partner. Male or female, and who like to get away, may or may not have children, irrespective, they like to do the five-star things in life when they get the chance and when they have the spare cash. They like to get away. They will search out new locations. They will search out new experience. They've got to be a little bit adventurous, a little bit ballsy to some extent. At least one of them needs to be, mainly. It's usually the man, but the woman buys for the man, because the woman owns the purse strings. I'm going to 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Can, you know,
most decision maker, right?
The decision maker. And she tends to buy the flamboyant, outrageous gifts for the husband's 40th. Yeah. I mean, I am this avatar basically, because it's how we started.
You know what? It's always easiest to market to yourself. So
absolutely.
There you go.
So this is our main avatar. At this stage, in our infancy, the avatar I'm searching for is, or aiming at, is a female with a little bit extra cash who will buy extravagant gifts and enjoys getting away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just to expand on that so that I can get clear, and this will help us, you know, when you're listening to this, this is a really important thing to consider in your marketing communications when you're crafting a hook, so how to draw people in. It's really, really important to understand a bit around the psychology and the psychography that's going on for your avatar. So if you could please, Mel, if you had to pinpoint kind of, you know, this avatar, does she have a name, by the way?
I'm going to go with, no, I'm making it up at the spot.
We need to give her a name. Let's do it.
I was thinking Stephanie.
Okay, so Steph. Steph. So, you know, this morning when Steph woke up, she's in the mindset at the moment because maybe it's her husband or her partner, her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's his, you know, 40th birthday soon. Okay.
Yeah.
So she's woken up and she's thinking about this. She's thinking about it a lot. What's the number one kind of biggest problem or frustration that she wakes up with thinking about when it comes to planning what she's going to do for her partner? What is it that's like really weighing on her mind when it comes to what, you know, your related offering? What's the number one biggest problem for her?
So she wakes up with the problem that she has to buy a gift. She might be thinking in her head that he's got so much already, that, and she wants to make it special, a memory, something that he will always remember and cherish. She might have in the back of her mind that she is a little bit environmental side of things, but she knows she's leaning towards an experience gift, something that's more tangible and more lasting than a physical gift. A memory will last forever. And so, what's she going to do there?
What do you mean by environmental? Like she's a bit of a greenie?
Doesn't want more stuff. Yeah, there's an element, like maybe she watched War on Waste. So there's an element to that in that she doesn't want something that will be thrown away over time, like that will go to landfill. So there's a slight element to that. I'm kind of feed in. There's a few other things within my company that, because I'm a bit of a greenie, that I build in, like it's a completely paper-free environment and things like that. But from her perspective, from Steph's perspective, she doesn't potentially want a thing that sits on the shelf. She doesn't want it's more a memory.
Okay. So I'm just going to quickly jump in and kind of challenge the greenie angle, because obviously for me, I think
– I just threw that in.
I think greenie, and I'm thinking like an electric car, like a Prius, not a Ferrari, just when I'm thinking in the realm of cars. So I would be careful with that.
Absolutely. And I haven't actually put it out there.
Okay. Yeah.
In that respect.
That's just one thing to be conscious of.
Element, but it's, I don't think it's a sellable element.
No,
in that respect. So,
yeah, I don't think it's really the hook that would.
No, it's not a hook.
No. Okay, cool. Just checking.
Okay, yeah, no, we are on the same page.
Awesome. Okay, so in terms of, let's just talk a little bit more around these foundations before we start digging into your marketing. And I'm just going to cover a few more. Your competitor is Mel, and where you stand. You know, shed some light for me here. Are you clear on who they are, what their pricing is, how they stand out?
Yeah, so I have gone through that whole competitor analysis side of things. I'm going to be quite generalized. They are a lot for the male.
Yeah.
They all go for the male. There are companies out there that have the female scantily clad draped over a Ferrari or what have you.
Yeah.
Not my cup of tea. I kind of turn around and leave when I see that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there are some of those out there. There's some that are doing it really well in that they focus on drive days. They have 5-6 cars, they throw the guys in, they all go for a drive day, bonding day, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And yeah, so we kind of, that's all my competitors do a semblance of drive day.
Okay. And so based on what they do, you know, and this is one of the things we talk to you ladies about a lot in our student community, is that by gleaming insights from your competitors, you can really start to understand how you can stand out effectively and gain, you know, a bit of a position in the marketplace. So on that point, from the insights that you've gleaned by looking at your competitors, what would you say is a clear point of difference for you? And I think you've touched on a few, but we'll just clearly lay them out.
Just clarify.
There.
Yeah. So as I said, I've targeted the female.
Yeah.
I've targeted, I'm even my basic marketing that I've done today, like things above the fold.
Yeah.
Below the fold, that sort of thing. I'm kicking their butts. I'm also.
So I'm just going to clarify there for our listeners: above the fold versus below the fold. So, you're talking about the homepage, obviously.
The homepage, yes. Yeah.
So above the fold is basically what you see immediately when you land on someone's website, versus below the fold, which is what's required. You're required to scroll down in order to see what you're doing below the fold. So you're saying that your website is a lot more optimized. Is that right?
Yeah. So they do have, they just have, tends to have photos, just photo, photo.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And then, but the main point of difference that I'm evolving with is personality.
Yeah.
Who is this company? Who are you buying from? Who are you renting from? I should say like, they get to know me. I'm linking me, and we're doing a few other things in the background, like we're constantly supporting charities and things like that, to give our company more than just a feeling of, oh, I'm spending a lot of money to hire a car from a stranger.
Yeah.
No, I'm spending money. I'm hiring a car from Mel.
I love it. And, you know, it's funny that we're talking about this, because we recently explored this in another podcast episode where we talked a lot around effectively connecting your brand with your audience. And one of the things that we talked about was really putting your face out there and telling your brand story, and the fact that people connect with people. They don't connect, you know, with logos that they've never seen before. So I love that you're doing that.
Living that. Yeah. So, and it's totally Nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking because I am very private on my Facebook. I have very strict controls, but I'm kind of letting it all out.
Which I think, you know, in order, what the saying goes, right? I mean, the magic starts when you take a step outside of your comfort zone. And that's absolutely a perfect example right there. And I also think it really plays to the strength and the fact that you are your own avatar in many senses. And so if you are marketing to female decision makers like yourself, imagine how much more they're going to be able to connect with you personally. Exactly. You know, than some that's sexy right. woman photo draped over a red Ferrari, right?
Non-existent. Yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm doing it and why I see value in it. And I'm actually really enjoying it. I am enjoying it.
Yeah.
So I'm living it up.
Okay. Okay. Love it. So we've touched a little bit around the foundations. There's a lot more to cover, but this gives us all a little bit of clarity around where you're at. And it gives us, you know, gives me confidence. I know from talking to you anyway that you have this stuff down pat, but it is important for our listeners to understand, you know, how fundamental it is to really be clear on all of your business foundations before you progress into your marketing strategy and throw any money at your marketing for that matter.
And just on that point, I refuse to throw money to my marketing strategy and I still haven't as such to date. Like I haven't bought Google ads. I haven't bought Facebook ads. I haven't done any of that because I agreed. I needed to get, even before I found Business School for Mums, I felt like I needed to do some foundation stuff. Yeah. I wasn't calling it that, but and then when I found Business School for Mums, that's like, okay, when I get up to the next step side of things, then I'm going to, the whole world's going to open up. So I'm right at that precipice right now.
Yes, I know you are. And I love working through it with you.
Good.
But okay, so to date, I think one of the things that, you know, and this is one of the things that you and I have been talking a lot in the private coaching forum within Small Business Pro in our program is a lot around your sales funnel. And before we talk about this, I think it's important for me to just kind of give a really quick overview of what a sales funnel is for any listeners who are tuning in who may not know. So essentially, the sales funnel is a series of touch points that enables you to develop a customer journey and to turn a lead or a prospect into a buying customer. So it's your responsibility as a small business owner really to get clear on the map of all those different touch points to drive them, you know, from the top of the funnel to the bottom of the funnel. So the top, they come in as a lead and you collect their details, and then at the bottom, they're buying from you. And I always liken it to Ryan Dice's saying, you know, it's kind of like marriage when you start dating at the very top and then you get married at the bottom. So
it's a good analogy.
Yeah, it's such a great analogy, and it really explains in a very clear manner what it's all about and how important these touch points are to develop trust and to establish a relationship with your prospects, because that is essentially what drives people to buy. And funny enough, it really speaks to your point in your unique selling proposition of using, you know, your brand story and yourself and putting yourself out there to establish that trust. And I think that's just brilliant. So
That's and really it great. Is, and trust is a key element to my area in that people are handing over large sums of money. And there a lot, I've had one guy who danced around for a little while because he was just so concerned that I would run off with his bond. And I'm like, mate, I'm not like that. But, it took a while, but he got there in the end and he was very happy. But, we digress.
But it's such an important thing for any transaction, let alone especially yours, where, you know, it's quite a large amount of money that's changing hands in order to deliver the service. Trust is just paramount. So can you tell me a little bit, you know, we've been working on your funnel, and do you want to just tell our listeners a little bit around what we've done to date and where you're up to, and then we can start talking a little bit more around how to get it out there and other elements to it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. So what I've done today, it stems back from one of the foundation steps, I'd have to say, of the survey.
Okay.
So when I went out and surveyed people, and I may have guided it, but a lot of the responses I got back was along the lines of, my ideal day is a Ferrari with a spa day, or a Ferrari with a beautiful picnic lunch, or a Ferrari with drive with it. And it wasn't just the drive. It was more than that. And so we put it up in the, I was really struggling with the top of the funnel side of things. I just didn't know what to do. So we put it into the forum. A lot of ideas came out, and I probably will use some more in the future. But what we landed on, which ties in with my day job a little bit, being a project manager, is how to plan the ultimate date. So you tie in the Ferrari plus the planning side of things, and maybe the realization not that, you know, people aren't as organized as I am,
yeah,
and don't know the steps to, or, you know, they get lost in the idea of what to do. I want to do this, but then I want to, what else do I do, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, we created the top of the funnel, which was the a how-to guide. And we went through a lot of things. What does this look like?
So your lead magnet, your freebie.
Lead magnet.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What does the freebie look like? What does it involve? Yeah. And
how are you getting those people's names and their email addresses so you can start establishing and creating those relationships with them in the middle of the funnel to get them to buy, right?
Yes. So that top bit was a bit of a difficult one, and we got there, and it's actually today, just literally an hour ago, I kind of ticked the box for, with my web guy, and so it's 99.9% there.
Okay. So fantastic. That's awesome.
Yeah. So so we're definitely, I need to know now what to do, what next, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so, we can, sorry, Mel, what were you saying?
Yeah, I was just going to finish off the rest of the funnel if you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the top is the how to, and then the tripwire is, so a little bit of a taste. So I've offered a very bespoke package for them that they only find out about when they're on the lead magnet page.
Okay. Okay, cool. And just a caveat for our listeners too, Tripwire is basically like a low price point entry offering that basically facilitates the exchange of money the first time without the consumer having to lay it all in terms of, you know, your core offer price. So it's a great opportunity, exactly like Mel said, for people to experience a little bit around what you're all about and to start establishing that trust without them, you know, putting their whole credit card down for the full meal deal, basically.
That's right. Yeah. And so I'm really quite happy with the tripwire that we've landed it's a 20 minute drive. So I will drive somebody for 20 minutes, and it's like $99, which is absolute steal.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's tripwire. And then that leads to a 5-hour package, which is a self-drive. So yeah, you like it, drive it yourself.
Yeah.
And that ties back into the original lead magnet of how am I going to plan this ultimate date? And it's like, here's a 5-hour drive and et cetera.
Okay. So that's the core offer at the bottom of the funnel.
The core offer is, the 5 hours.
Okay. Awesome. So let's talk, going back to your question of, okay, you know, I've got this pretty much set up now, Flory. What do I do next?
Yeah, how do I get people buying?
Okay, so great question. And I think, you know, in the first instance, one thing I want to ask you, and that I don't think we've necessarily touched on yet, is, you know, have you got an email marketing platform set up in the back end? What are you using?
Actually, I definitely needed it for this funnel as well. But I'm using MailChimp.
Okay.
Love it. I think somebody's mentioned it's such a cool and useful tool.
Yeah.
But I have had that set up from day one.
Okay, great.
I've got a whopping 54 people on it.
Yeah. Gotta start somewhere.
I'm starting to do some tricky things where they all I can start tracking how they come in to MailChimp,
great.
And they all go into the master list, which then I try to get an email out twice a month. I actually just sent one the other day. Twice a month,
great.
Just focusing on, but I'm also using MailChimp as within the funnel process, if you will.
Yeah.
So when they email in, so when they get the email, I have an automated welcome letter.
Okay.
Which has the link to, the Tripwire page.
Yeah.
But it also has a bit of information in there.
Okay.
Like some ideas on how to have an ultimate romantic date.
Okay, cool. So I want to talk a little bit more around the exact emails that you plan to send out as part of that automation to drive people down the funnel to buy. But before I do, one thing that I did want to flag with you, you mentioned that you have a master list. My advice to you is, especially now as you're starting out, and it's very clear to you that you have kind of three segments, basically. You have the people who are part of your lead magnet but haven't necessarily opted in or purchased your tripwire or core offer for that matter. Then you have your tripwire buyers. So they've consumed your lead magnet, bought the tripwire, but they haven't yet consumed the core offer. And then you have your core offer buyers. So one thing that I want you to get in the habit of, especially now in your infancy, is your segmenting is really quite simple at the beginning because there's not many stages yet to your sales funnel. So I want you to think about eventually dividing that master list up into three lists or three segments where either you are tagging, so you have the functionality and the capability to tag certain mm-hmm. contacts within that list according to the actions that they've taken. Okay. So either you tag them so that you can then sort your master list according to those three different stages of the funnel. Okay. Or you create three separate lists. But I want you to start kind of processing, you know, that's how you want to approach it so that in your mind, you know, your goal is basically to escalate people, ascend them from the lead magnet list to the tripwire list to the core offer list. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I'm already, I haven't set it up yet, but it is one of those things because I've got the list of, so my 54 people are actually people who have just out of interest wanted to follow what we're doing. But I have got a second list, which I haven't added, which are people who have already purchased from me. And those people I want to resell. So
we want to re-engage those.
Yeah, so I've already categorized those depending on what package they've done and things. So there is, I'm actually working on trying to work out the functionality with MailChimp if I can actually have them in the master so they get the bigger email, but also they get a bespoke email depending on what package they have. So there's a bit of a learning curve for me there and there's an awareness. So to your point, yes, I am aware. And to back it up, it's like, I'm not there yet.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You got to start somewhere. But it's just something to, be aware of as you are expanding your email marketing skills and going through, you know, the motions at the minute, you know, whilst you settle.
It's honestly, it's like juggling. It's like a juggle. Like you got so many balls in the air. It's like this person, this email, this one gets that email. It's like, I love that sort of stuff. But
it will get easier. And as you get more organized on the back end too, in your email marketing platform, it will become a lot easier. And so going back to, you know, the email marketing strategy that you could use to drive people from the lead magnet to the tripwire and then to the core offer, let's talk a little bit more around that. And then we might talk a little bit more around your re-engagement series, because I think that is really a valuable thing to consider. Okay. So in terms of, have you set up yet any emails? I think you said you have. So
I've got the welcome email, which is automated. So that sends out, the link. That's the only way that they can get to the actual Tripwire page, which has their details. So that's the welcome. So that's all I've done to date.
Okay, cool. So what I want you to think about then is that tripwire, we want to drive a little bit of urgency and scarcity around it. Consumers, you know, the human brain, we react extremely well to scarcity and urgency. And they are two motives that really drive us to act, okay?
I know it works with me.
Well, it is marketing and sales strategy.
Even when you're aware of it, you still get sucked in. It's like, oh my God, there's only two left.
Exactly. But it is, you know, marketing and sales 101, and it works. Yeah. And so that is one thing that I want you to take stock of. So even, you know, on that Tripwire page,
of course, yes.
I encourage you to caveat the fact that, you know, it's a special offer because it is, you know, you said yourself, it's an absolute bargain and they get to experience it. Yes, it's with me, but still it's my time and, you know, it's a steal. So, you know, I think it's important to highlight that this offer is on the table only for so long, right?
Perfect. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, that's great.
So I want you to drive a bit of urgency there. And truth be told, you know, you have another job, you do this. You might only offer 5 of these a month. I don't know. But think about perhaps putting a number to it as well, so that people are more motivated to snap it up. Okay. There's only, you know, I've got 5 of these positions left for the month. It's first come, first serve. And, you know, I'm
okay.
Okay. So,
yeah.
And think about those tactics to weave them not only into the Tripwire Lander, so your squeeze page for the Tripwire. And squeeze page is basically what we referred to as a lander. It's where you squeeze out their details or their transaction details, whatever it is that you're trying to get from them. Okay. So put that messaging on that page. Okay. And absolutely. Then what we're going to do is with your emails, in addition to, you know, that first email, which is like, welcome to the Fuga Veloce tribe or what have you, where you might introduce yourself because, you know, you're really trying to establish this personal connection with them and show them your face. You might also reiterate the fact that, you know, this is a great opportunity, but, you know, it's only available for so long and there's only so many spaces. So if you're considering it, you know, jump. And then what I would encourage you to do is to remind them. So the next, maybe you send another two emails over the course, depending on how long you give them. So say that you give them, I don't know.
A month. I'd probably give them a month.
No, not that long. Oh. No, I would give, because they can redeem it perhaps over a month. But in order to make the decision, honestly, that saying that you've got to strike whilst the iron is hot, it could not be more true. Okay. And I have learned this the hard way. Yeah.
Okay.
So I would be giving them like 72 hours, maybe 5 days, like tops. But
wow. Okay. Yeah,
you're front of mind. At that point in time, you have to think about it this way. You know, when you opt in for something, think about the time that you are like the most highly engaged. It's when you're waiting to get whatever you just opted in for. Like you absolutely, put your name, right? So you got to like strike whilst iron is hot. And then you want to be close in proximity to that time because they're still hot. You're still front of mind for them. They've only just taken that action. They've only just done that micro commitment to put their name and details a day before. So like the following day you hit again and you say, right, hey, Sally, you know, it's Mel here. And I saw that you checked out our offer and I just wanted to remind you, you know, these are, I only have so many left and it's only available for so long, you know? And maybe in that email, you know, you could test a few things. You could test popping in some testimonials, for instance. So some customer stories of people who have experienced your tripwire, or even like a video that could be cool, you know, of someone saying how great it was, or you actually showing, demonstrating how it works. Or in that email, you might focus on like some of the emotional benefits that come out of this experience, which is like, you know, if you're considering,
make a memory.
Yeah, you know, if you're considering like committing to, or I wouldn't use the word committing because you don't want to make it seem bigger than it is, but if you're considering, you know, hiring a Ferrari, this is a great way to experience it because X, Y, Z. And I wouldn't outline benefits and features necessarily because that's not what sells, but I would try to use emotion, okay, draw emotion. You know, it's a great experience. You get to go, you know, in the fast lane with Fuga Veloce. Like, try and hit on the emotion, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Stories are a great way to connect with people too and to get them to act. And that's why I said testimonials can be very compelling as well, okay? And then you might send another email, a third and final email, okay, giving them an opportunity to snap up this opportunity. It's like, okay, you know, hey, Sally, it's me again. I just wanted to let you know this is your last chance, you know, and time is running out. This is the final spot, or I've only got a couple spots left. If you're keen, you can book here, okay?
Okay.
And obviously, you're always driving that call to action. That's really important as well. So your call to action, what you want them to do, which is to book the tripwire, you want to make sure that it's really clear, okay? So make it a button maybe and make it on brand, okay?
Yes, yes.
So does that make sense and give you some ideas?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, no, and something to do. So it actually makes sense to how to get them into the funnel, to draw them through the funnel. But what about getting them in?
Yeah, great question.
At the very top.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Your customer avatar, Steph, where does she hang out? Like, what social channels is she on? What's her like behavior online? Where is she?
Okay, well, Facebook and Instagram to start with. Pinterest, most definitely likely. Yeah, to fashion their house because they've got income. So and they do holidays. So
and did you find that out through your research out of interest with respect to Pinterest?
No, just I'm gathering like a lot of people I know who do this. They're surprisingly on Pinterest.
Okay. That's so, really interesting. The only reason why I flag that is because Pinterest like is so huge in the US, but but yes, in Australia,
not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because, but I have I've got a number of friends who are on Pinterest, and they're kind of part of, they help boost my avatar and to round it out a bit. So they also listen to a lot of the cooking shows, the MasterChefs, the that sort of thing. So they're kind of in that space as well.
Okay. Cool. So I think based on what you're telling me, you know, it's a no-brainer. Pinterest, I always say, especially for a small business owner, it's like there's only so many hours in the day, right? Mm. And because Pinterest, in my opinion, you know, of the 650 small business owners I've worked with here in Australia, I have yet to see one to have a successful marketing campaign with Pinterest in Australia. And given that you are very location-based, I would say let's stick to things that we know will work, where we know that they're hanging out on. Okay, so I would have also hazarded a guess that they would be, you know, on Facebook and Instagram. I'd have to say I'm probably not too far-fetched from being a Stephanie myself, and I hang out a lot on Facebook and Instagram. So what's great about those two platforms, obviously, is that especially – not those two platforms, I should say, but just in terms of digital marketing, you can be so targeted with digital marketing that you can be certain that, you know, you won't have any waste in terms of targeting the right people once you get to know how, what their interests are and how to find them and where to find them, as opposed to doing offline marketing. Okay.
Yes.
So in the first instance, to make your dollar go further, basically, I would be running some paid traffic campaigns, via Facebook. So obviously now Facebook has purchased Instagram, and in order to advertise on Instagram, you have to facilitate the advertisement through the Facebook advertising platform anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I would be saying, you know, let's work on doing some Facebook ads in order to target them. And we would test a whole lot of different stuff in order to see what works. And Facebook ads can get quite complex, but you know, luckily you are in our student forum, so you.
Yes, and I have to admit, like the very first next step, next level, I think you call it, that I had planned to do was around the Facebook ads.
Yeah, so. And I think that that will be critical for you, especially given that you're targeting females because they're all over Facebook and Instagram, and given Stephanie and what she's like, she's going to be all over Facebook and Instagram. So I think for us, in terms of next steps and driving a paid traffic campaign. Once we can nail your funnel, so first I would say, Mel, you know, let's work on making sure that your conversion rates are strong at every stage of the funnel. So I would want, and this is the way I'm going to work with you in the forum, is basically I want to see that we can get people to buy that tripwire first organically. Okay. So we might drive it via social media. We might do some collaborations that are free and organic. Okay. And get an idea, and we're going to track and measure at every stage of the funnel. Okay. So we're going to look at how many people, like from the very beginning, we're going to look at how many people
from today,
you know, you said you're 99% up with your lead magnet. Great. Okay. Once we get your email strategy down pat, what we're going to do is we're literally going to measure how many people land on your lead magnet squeeze page. Okay. Your lander.
Yep.
And how many people opt in. Because that's one step, you know, one conversion stage that we really need to track. And ideally, you're converting about 50% of those people, okay? That's a really strong conversion rate, but I feel very confident that we can get you to that. That's what we do, and that's what I
hope so.
And that's what I achieve with a lot of our students. Because there is a bit of a formula to optimizing your squeeze page, and I will certainly be teaching you how to do that in the forum. But we're going to want to make sure that that's converting well for you first, okay?
Yeah. I did totally copy your squeeze page template, by the way.
Great. Love it. and then from there, we're going to look at open rates on emails. We're going to look at click rates, okay?
Yes.
And of the people who converted into the lead magnet, we're going to see how many convert into the tripwire, okay? Now, what's a good conversion rate for a tripwire? This is a question I often get. 10% is good, okay?
Okay.
So we are going to see how we go, basically. We're going to drive it organically, and we're going to do some collaborations before we put any money behind it and get an idea behind these statistics, okay?
Yeah.
And then I'd say we can start putting some money behind it, because then we know at least the funnel works.
Okay, cool. Because I have to admit, I might need to do something around the space of, because my hits per month on the website are not huge. And so to just, I need to drive people to there initially. Like, I feel like I need to do that.
So, I mean, it really depends on budgets. If you have a bit of budget to put a bit of paid traffic behind it so that we can start testing and measuring this faster, you know, sooner than later, I'd say let's do it. We will be able to very quickly assess and understand where the shortfalls in the funnel are. Okay. But what's going to be really important for us to do is to track and measure every single stage of the funnel. Because, for instance, if that lead magnet squeeze page doesn't convert, even though your ads at the top of the funnel might be absolutely rocking it, they're not even going to get to your email sequence or see the tripwire or see the core offer for that matter. So
there's all these steps. So do you have a spreadsheet?
Yes. Like, you will get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm picturing a spreadsheet already where you can track all this. Like, exactly. You have the steps listed and then you just punch the numbers in and stuff. So.
Precisely. And all the formulas are in there for our students. But for our listeners, what I want you to do, if you're listening to this right now, is basically to think about tracking every stage of the funnel and how effectively or not effectively it's working, but track those numbers, because then you'll see where the shortfalls are. You'll see what you need to improve. Like I said, you might be running a great marketing campaign on Facebook where you're getting, you know, awesome click-through rates and the ads are, you know, getting commented on and you're getting a lot of social proof on the ads, but you just can't seem to get people to opt in for it. So then you know that there's a problem right there. You know, if 100 people are landing on that lander and 5 are putting their name and email address, you know
that's not enough.
Exactly. Okay. So that's for our listeners. I really want you to be conscious of that, is tracking and measuring everything, because there's no point in pumping a whole bunch of money into a great Facebook ad campaign, for instance, or Instagram ad campaign, if, you know, your squeeze page isn't working, if the email automation series isn't doing what it needs to, if the tripwire isn't compelling and isn't driving people to act. There's all these stages that we need to consider. So that's something that we're going to be working through together, Mel. But, you know, for our listeners, it's really important to be aware of. All right. Okay. Awesome. So, is there anything else? It's like opening a can of worms, isn't it?
I know. I don't even know where to start. Like, I do know where to start. And that's the whole point of this, is that I kind of just want to get off this call and put those emails in place and have a look over. I've got to change the welcome email as well, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, to make it a bit more personal.
Yeah, I definitely think that personalization angle, and it's funny that you say that, because we're going to be actually releasing a podcast episode really soon on, you know, the importance of mass personalization versus mass marketing. And I think our listeners and yourself, Mel, you'll get so much out of that, because I agree. Like, the more you can personalize it and really authentically connect with a person on the other side who's reading your email, you know, the more traction and effective that those emails are going to be. Okay. So I couldn't agree more with you more. And
yeah. And I'm not surprised that that's the one thing that I missed out of the welcome thing.
Yeah. But I think, all right, well, I think you've got plenty of food for thought here to take away. And, you know, for our listeners, I trust that you've gotten a lot out of this as well, in terms of, you know, how to approach a funnel and all the stages that you need to consider in order to make a funnel to work, because it can be tricky. But the exciting thing is that it's not impossible. It's like data. I mean, you really have to just look at the numbers. And once you see where the shortfalls are, is you tweak and you refine and you'll get there in the end. But you do have to test and measure as you go. Unfortunately, that's how marketing works. You know, there's no one size fits all and there's no crystal ball that will tell us what works. But this is a great methodology to follow in order to get something that will be working for your business.
And creating the funnel is just the first step.
Exactly.
Like you've got to create all the stuff around it, all the emails.
Yeah. And then you have to tweak it. Because sometimes even like the prices that you use to, you know, for your tripwire and your core offer, they may not be right either. So you might have to test different pricing and messaging, imagery. There's so many elements to it. But you're certainly on the right track, Mel. And I trust that you got a lot out of our conversation today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Definitely. Thank you so much. I could do this 6 times over. So much. I need to scrape out of your brain and get it. I just need it.
Scrape it all out in the forum. Don't worry. Well, thank you so much for your time, Mel. I've really enjoyed connecting with you face to face. It's been awesome. And to anyone who's listening who wants to make a fast escape with Mel's Ferrari car rental company at Fuga Veloce, we are going to be featuring Mel's details on our website at businessschoolformums.com/podcast so that you can connect with her personally, as well as on our socials. Okay. And our handle for our socials for your reference is at businessschoolformums. Now, as usual, to review the podcast, please head over to businessschoolformums.com/podcast. And also, you know, if you'd like to drop us a note or if you'd like to get put on the marketing hot seat like Mel did today, please reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And you can find us at podcast@businessschoolformums.com. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. One final note before I share my final parting thought with you is you would have heard in our last podcast episode that we have launched a new mastermind, a very exclusive one called Beyond Brave. Okay. And my conversation with Mel is really just a taster of how we work with our students in our mastermind at Beyond Brave. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more around that, please also email us at podcast@businessschoolformums.com as we are accepting applications at the moment. All right. And to wrap up, my parting thought for you today when it comes to your marketing strategy is this: don't find customers for your products, find products for your customers. And that is by Seth Godin. All right. And remember, be brave in your business.